the commitment of an authentic Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Follow along with me, please, as I read. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you again for the Word of God. And Lord, as we come to the Word of God this morning, may we have open hearts to hear it and to apply it to our lives. Lord, we pray that as we preach this series on living an authentic Christian life, that all of us would grow to an understanding of what the Christian life is all about, that our Christian lives would be more authentic and that they would be more of an impact in this world. And Father, we thank you for your word and ask you to bless it again this morning, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Old-fashioned biblical commitment is becoming a thing of the past. Just finding people today who are committed to the principles of the Word of God is a rare thing. I find that people are generally, in this day, not as committed to their spouse as they were just a few years ago. Finding husbands and wives who are committed to one another until death do them part is a rarity in this hour. It seems as though people are not as committed to their companies today, and companies are certainly not as committed to their employees today. You find a tremendous lack of commitment to the individual on the part of corporate America. In fact, they just flat out tell young people coming out of college today, you might as well expect to work for 7 or 8 companies in the day in which we live. And so commitment is really not found in the corporate world in America today. There was a day in America when you would find people who were committed to certain brand names. For example, there were some men that they were Ford men until they died, until the Consumer Report said that another truck would be the better truck for them. Now, there are still some that are committed to Ford, and there are still some that are committed to Chevy, but by and large, that type of commitment isn't really found in America much anymore today. There was a day when people chose churches because of the doctrine of the church. And the first question they would ask was, what does this church believe about Jesus Christ? What does this church believe about the Bible? What does this church believe about the coming again of Jesus Christ? But you know, people don't seem to be committed about doctrine much anymore. It doesn't seem like the questions we hear from those visiting the church are very much related to the doctrine of the Word of God. They're related more to programs and schedules and all of those things, which are okay, but not really as important as the doctrine of the church. You see, the philosophy that is most prevalent in America today is sort of a situation ethics, or what we might call an accommodating theology. How can God accommodate me? Not how is God going to change my life, but how can I somehow fit God into my lifestyle? And we as Christians, and generally as Americans today in 1999, many times move our loyalties and even our beliefs to accommodate self more than the Savior. Now, a committed Christian is someone who is willing to move his loyalties or his lights or even his beliefs, if you will, to accommodate the teachings of the Savior, the teachings of the Word of God, rather than himself first. You see, we need to move away from the mentality, if we are going to live authentic Christian lives, we need to move away from this mentality that God is not much more than a 911 number up in heaven that we call. But many Christians treat God that way. Many Christians treat the Christian life as that emergency thing that we have to do when everything else seems to be falling apart. Well, this morning, as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we will see that an authentic Christian life will evidence itself in a loyalty and commitment to Jesus Christ first and foremost in our lives. That the authentic Christian is someone who is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, I'm simply saying this morning that there are some people, as we introduce the thought of commitment, that if commitment really were to hit them right in the face, they wouldn't understand what it is. And so we need to open up a little bit to the fact that we need to reevaluate what our commitment level to the Lord is really like. I heard about a lady who was driving down a country road not long ago, and she happened to be blonde. It doesn't mean that every driver doing this would be, but this particular one was. And she was driving down a country road, and she was weaving this way and weaving that way and weaving the next way. And all of a sudden, of course, the state trooper saw her, and he put on the lights and the siren, and he started trying to follow her as she weaved back and forth down the road. And finally, he got her pulled over. And as he walked up to the window, the lady said, "Officer, oh, thank goodness you're here. I almost had an accident." She said, "I looked in front of me and there was a large tree, and I'd swerved to the left, and there was another tree, and I'd swerved to the right, and there was another tree, and every which way I would turn, it seemed like there was that tree." And finally, the officer said, "Ma'am, that's your air freshener." Now, she wasn't really recognizing what was going on there. And some people, when it comes to commitment, you know, if it was right there, we wouldn't know what it is, because we just don't live in a day where people seem to be as committed to the Lord as we really should be. Hey, why don't we all start this time together this morning by just saying, "All right, I'll admit that I may not be as committed as I should be to my Savior right now. I'm willing to start that way." And I hope you will be too. Because the Apostle Paul was a man who, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, was totally committed and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was challenging them with his testimony. I want you to notice, first of all, the commitment of an authentic Christian is that he is committed to a faithful walk with God. He is committed to a faithful walk with God. Notice the Bible says in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Now, I noticed right off the bat this morning in verse number 1 that Paul the Apostle's walk was a walk of acceptance. It was a walk of acceptance. And by that we mean that he was accepting the fact that God had called him to serve him with his life. He says, "Therefore," speaking of his salvation experience, "therefore, seeing we have this ministry," or "seeing we have received this ministry." I wonder, Christian friend, this morning, have you considered the fact, have you accepted the fact that when you were saved, when you were born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, that God at that very moment had a purpose in mind for your life, and that He at that very moment called you to serve Him with your life? Have you come to the place where you, like Paul, can say, "Since I'm saved, therefore, seeing I have this ministry, seeing that I have this new purpose in life"? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, that we are not our own, but that we have been purchased or bought with a price, and that that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And since we do not belong to ourselves, then it is only reasonable that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. It is only reasonable that we would recognize that when God called us, He not only saved us, but He has placed us into His service. An authentic Christian does not deny God's sovereign ownership upon his life. Rather, he accepts God's ownership upon his life. An authentic Christian is someone who recognizes, "I have been bought with a price. I have no right holding on to the steering wheel and going where I want to go. But I am to seek God's direction and God's leadership, and I am to follow the way that He would have me to go." The commitment of a faithful walk. And we see it is, first of all, a walk of acceptance. Accepting the fact that Jesus Christ is the sovereign head of our lives. And as sovereign head, He has given to us a ministry whereby we might serve Him. Some of you this morning need to put this thought in your mind. You're not an E-force or an E-4 in the Air Force. You're not a construction worker today. You're not a doctor or a nurse or a farmer or some other a trade today. You are the servant of the Almighty God. And we need to forget this idea that some people are in full-time ministry and other people can just serve Him part of the time. All of us have been bought with a price. And Paul recognized that when he got saved. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So it was a walk of acceptance. He had accepted the fact that he was a servant of the King of Kings. Notice, secondly, it was a walk of mercy. A walk of mercy. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Now, an authentic Christian does not view serving God as bondage. An authentic Christian does not say, oh man, I've got to live for the Lord and tell others about the Lord and go to church. He doesn't view it in that light. In fact, Paul views it in this light. He says, as we have received mercy. An authentic Christian does not view serving God as bondage. He receives it and believes that serving God is as a trait of God's mercy upon his life. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. My friend, if you want to know what bondage is, look at the average unsaved man who is bound by alcohol or bound by materialism or bound by the lust of this world. He is in bondage today. But Paul says, it's not bondage for me to serve God. He says, it is by His mercy that He has given me the privilege to serve Him. And so a committed walk is, first of all, a walk of acceptance. It is, secondly, a walk of mercy that God would save us and that God would let us serve Him. But notice, thirdly, it is a walk of commitment. It is a walk of commitment. Now, notice this verse 1. What a simple yet profound verse. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, notice these next three words, we faint not. We faint not. Or Paul says, since I have received this ministry from God, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn and run. I'm not going to give up. God is the one who saved me. God is the one who placed me in this ministry. Therefore, he says, we faint not. We need some Christians today in this room who would say, I believe that God has saved me. I believe that God has called me to serve Him. And sometimes it's difficult being a Christian. And sometimes it's difficult being a witness. And sometimes it's difficult believing what we believe in this day. Nevertheless, it is God that has called me, and I am not going to tuck tail and run. I'm not going to turn around and walk out on my God. I am going to be faithful to the Lord in this day. Paul says, we faint not. You know, we need some Christians today. Some Christians who perhaps have been up and down, and sometimes at your lowest times, you've considered quitting, to say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to quit on my God. We need some Christians today that perhaps have been in this church and that church, and sometimes Christians in the 90s, it's almost a ping pong ball effect. And by the way, you can change labels on the bottle all you want, but it never changes the bottle. Right? And the fact of the matter is, we need some Christians today who would say, bless God, He's brought me to this church, and I'm going to be faithful to serve God in this church. I'm going to be faithful to glorify God in this place, and I'm not going to quit. Paul said, we faint not. He said, we're not going to give up. And it was a walk of commitment. And I'm just simply saying this morning that an authentic Christian is someone who determines to be faithful until God calls him home. Someone who determines that he will not quit. Friend, these are not easy days to live for Christ. And sometimes the values and the beliefs of this book are running smack into the face of the world in which we live. But we need some Christians with some spiritual grit in their craw to say, I'm not going to quit. I'll be faithful to the calling of God upon my life. Theodore Roosevelt once said it this way. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Paul said, I won't be the type of Christian who knows neither victory nor defeat. He says, I'll be the kind of a Christian who's going to stay in the battle, doing my best for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, since we're battling for the Lord Jesus Christ, we ultimately must know the victory because He has already won it on the cross of Calvary. When you're fighting in the Lord's army, you're on the winning side, brother. And thank God for that. And so we see a committed Christian, the commitment of a faithful walk. It is, first of all, a walk of acceptance. I accept that God owns me. He has purchased me with His blood. It is, secondly, a walk of mercy. This is not a matter of bondage. I'm not serving God because I have to. It is by His grace that I serve Him. Thirdly, it is a walk of commitment. I'm not going to quit. Paul said, we faint not. But notice, fourthly, it is a walk of honesty. A walk of honesty. Notice the integrity of ministry spoken of in verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now here we see the walk of honesty. Paul had renounced the disgraceful ways of false teachers. Those of you who've studied 2 Corinthians are aware of the fact that there were those who would come in right after the Apostle Paul would lead people to Christ and begin to pull them away into false teaching, begin to pull them away from the grace of God into what Paul called a form of lasciviousness or wicked living. And their ways of teaching and their ways of manipulating the truth were renowned. But Paul says in this passage, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We are not walking in craftiness. We are not handling the Word of God deceitfully. The false teachers distorted the Word of God to their advantage. They interpreted the Word of God to their advantage. But the Apostle Paul rightly divided the Word of truth. And we thank God for the walk of honesty that He gives to us as a testimony. And by the way, He says in this verse, towards the end of the verse, He says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He said, God is the judge of this ministry. And He says, God judges the motives of His heart. That's why He wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. You see, His message was a Christ-centered message, and He was faithful and honest to the word of God. And my friend, this morning, you may not like every joke I tell. You may not like the joke about the blonde lady driving down the road. That was used with permission by my wife, I might add, this morning. My friend, if there's something in this precious book that you don't like, you're wrong and the Bible's right. You see, because this is the infallible Word of God Almighty. And Paul the Apostle said that what his ministry was all about was rightly dividing the Word of truth. And that's why we as committed Christians need to say, I could grow in my commitment to the Word of God, an honest walk according to the Word of God. So we see, first of all, that he was committed to his walk for God. But notice, secondly, the Apostle Paul was committed to an open witness. Committed not only to a faithful walk, but he was committed to an open witness. Well, let's pause here just briefly. Do we recognize that without that faithful walk, then the witness many times doesn't count? You see, first Paul said he was walking in integrity. Now he's going to speak openly the Word of God. And we need to have today not only a godly walk, but also a godly witness. Notice now his commitment to an open witness. The Bible says in verse number 3 of this chapter, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now how basic again, but how profound. If the gospel is hidden, it is going to be hidden to those who need it the most. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now notice, first of all, a witness that is not hid. God wants us to have a witness that is not hidden, but a witness that is set upon a hill or that is very well known. Jesus Christ is speaking here in Matthew 5, and he says to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to submit to you this morning then that an authentic Christian is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And here we see the Bible in verse 3 saying, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." My friend, there are two categories of people in this world today. There are those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. By faith they have been saved. And there are those who have not yet been saved. And according to the Bible, they are lost and without Jesus Christ. Now, we can try to have some ecumenical mindset all we want. We can try to hope with optimism that everybody's on their way to heaven and that there's a broad road on the way to heaven. But the Bible says narrow is the way of life. Broad is the way of destruction. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And so we see that a committed Christian has an open witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has taught us in Matthew chapter 5 that we're not to hide that light under a bushel. We used to sing about that in Sunday school. Some of you used to sing it too. The song went something like this. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. "Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. What was the teacher trying to teach us? Trying to teach us that we don't want to hide the fact that we believe Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of this world today. But if we hide the gospel, then the Bible says it is hid to those that are lost. And all of us need to recognize that a committed Christian, an authentic Christian, is committed to an open witness. It is a witness that is not hidden. But secondly, it is a witness to those that are spiritually blind. It is a witness to those that are spiritually blind. Notice what it says in verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." The Bible says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who believe not. I think of the Apostle Paul's testimony to Agrippa when he said in the Scriptures to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. My friend, someone without Christ this morning as their Savior is under the power and the delusion and the influence of Satan. And they can only be delivered from that darkness by the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a country this morning that is spiritually blind. We see people today that are groping, trying to find some spirituality. My friend, we don't lack for spirituality in America. We lack for salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible declares to us that this world is spiritually blind and Satan has pulled the veil over their eyes. And our responsibility is to share the gospel with this lost and dying world. Oh, today Satan does not want this world to see the radiance of Christ's glory. But you and I are called upon to set that truth upon a hill where men and women might know Him. And so we see this morning an authentic Christian is a committed Christian. Committed to a faithful walk with God. He's not going to quit. Committed to an open witness for God. He's going to let that light shine every time God gives him a chance. But notice thirdly, he is committed to a glorious worship. He is committed to a glorious worship. Now we've seen the walk of a Christian. And we've seen the witness of the Christian. But what about the worship of the child of God? Well, notice what Paul says in verse number 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You'll see in verse number 5, Paul says, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord." Now, here we see then the worship of Christ. We believe the purpose of worship. We believe the purpose of worship is to exalt Jesus Christ. Whether it be around the throne in Revelation chapter 4, as the cherubim sang, holy, holy, holy unto God, and as they worshiped Him, or whether it is in this place today, our responsibility is to lift up the name of Christ. I would submit to you that there is much in the name of worship today that is not truly worship because Christ is not being lifted up. But Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then you'll notice in verse 5, he says, and ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, an authentic Christian is a servant who is exalting Jesus Christ. Someone who is doing his best or her best to lift up Christ. And so it is the worship of Christ. Notice secondly, it is worship from the heart. Worship from the heart. Now notice what verse 6 says. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God that when you and I are saved, there is a spiritual light that is turned on within our hearts. It is not merely the decision of mental assent. It is the decision of the heart. The word heart in the Bible represents the totality of our innermost being. It means that when someone is saved by faith, from their inwardmost parts, they are trusting in Jesus Christ. And then from that point and from that place, they can worship the Lord Jesus Christ because now His Spirit is bearing witness with them. And the Bible says that this is done from the heart. And we notice in verse number 6 that the light shines into the heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of God comes into the heart of a man. And now we can radiate for Him. Now we can be radiant for Him because His light is in us. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine in this world. It's not my light necessarily. It is God in me that Jesus wants to be exalted in this world today. And we can worship Him from the heart. And we can serve Him from the heart. Why? Not because my old fleshly nature has anything to offer, but with Christ in me, I can now serve Him and bear witness to Him. So this is the worship of Christ. This is the worship from a saved heart. But notice thirdly, this is worship by His power. We are going to worship Him by His power. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. But we have this treasure, speaking of this illuminating presence of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, perhaps some of you have used at home an old lantern. Inside that lantern, inside that glass, you have the flame causing the light to illuminate the way. In Bible times, there were similar types of lighting, and there would be various types of earthen vessels with various cutouts along the side where the light would illuminate the way. And the Bible says here in this verse, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, we are the earthen vessels that God has chosen to carry that light. You and I who are saved, we're earthen vessels. And that's why verse number 7 says the excellency and the power is of God. It's not us. In other words, all we are is dirt. All we are is the earthen clay vessel. That's what we are. We're just earthen vessels, the Bible says. Why? So that God gets all the glory. Why? We don't want the glory to come to us as earthen vessels. The glory belongs to God. And the Bible says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, this treasure, this glorious light that is in us, we are the earthen vessels. We cannot take the credit when someone gets saved. We cannot take the credit when someone's life is changed. All we are is the instrument that God wants to use in this hour to take the light to a lost and a dying world that desperately needs the Savior. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 that his speech was in the demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. And this is what we're praying for in these upcoming days. We're saying, Lord, we recognize we're nothing. We're just the earthen vessels. But Lord, when You saved us, You placed a light within us. And we pray that You'll help us to spread that light as authentic Christians who have an open witness, as authentic Christians who have a worship that is authentic before You. We pray that You would be pleased. Now, those who have a faithful walk, can say with the Apostle Paul, we faint not. We're not going to quit. God has called us. Sometimes heartaches come. Sometimes disappointments come. But God has called us to be faithful. Then we see not only the faithful walk, but the open witness. The open witness says, I will not hide the gospel. I am not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'll invite my neighbors to church. I'll share with them the scriptures that tell them about Jesus Christ. And so we see a faithful walk says, I will not faint. We see a faithful witness says, I'm going to share the gospel. But then we see a glorious worship. That's the kind of worship where God gets the glory. That's the kind of worship where He is praised and He is exalted. Now, my friend, today, what America needs is a revival of authentic Christianity. The kind where God's people say, we're not going to quit. We don't care how wicked society gets. The kind that says, we're not going to hide the message in the church house. We're taking it to the streets. The kind that says, we're not going to take the credit when God does bless. We're just the earthen vessels. It's the power of God that brings the salvation of a soul to reality. Now, you might be here this morning and you would say, Pastor Chappell, I can't live an authentically Christian life. I don't know that I can live what you're speaking about today because I'm not sure that I have ever been authentically saved. I'm not sure that Christ is in my life. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you have never had that light shine into your heart, you are not sure that Christ is present in your life today, let me tell you what. The fact of the matter is that even though the wages of our sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that gift is still available for anyone who would receive Christ as their Savior today. Let His light illuminate your heart with forgiveness and with the hope of heaven for all of eternity. That's the greatest gift you and I will ever receive here on this earth. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank You this morning for the testimony of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. And Lord, as we live this Christian life, we pray that You would live it through us. Father, that we would realize we're just the vessel, but that the power and the excellency is from You.